have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. It's Monday again. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you had an amazing weekend. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. Brand new biblical question. Brand new biblical question. And it's a doozy. Do you want to be different? Difference. Do you want to be different? I guess we don't have it. We don't have it.
I think Derek's still making it.
All right, hold on. Let me find out. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. Jesse Lee, they don't have the biblical question ready yet, so I'll just skip over that. I didn't know. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And Happy Men History Month, by the way. Happy Men History Month. And to donate, if you're busy, because we are heard around the world by everybody, and they mama, if you're white, their mama, if you're black, everybody, and they mama, you can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad, no matter where you are and what you're doing. Working out, whatever, taking your children to the school because your wife won't stay home and raise them, and traumatizing them, and then the wife cry and pretend that she's hurt by it, whatever. You can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. Amazing. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. A Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing, huh? And I think they have the biblical question ready now. Is it ready, Nick? Do you want to be different? Do you want to be different? I like that background. the video there. Do you want to be different? Amazing. And for those who don't know, and we take all calls, of course, Mondays is set aside for, though we take all calls, is set aside for Female Mondays.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
Amazing. Absolutely. But, yes, you've been lied to. When will you overcome the lie? When will you overcome the lie? Yes, you've been lied to, but you're responsible for your life as an adult to overcome. To overcome. Our battle is a spiritual battle, a warfare between good and evil, right versus wrong. If you get to know, as we talked about yesterday in the fellowship, which was amazing, by the way, the fellowship was amazing yesterday. Every Sunday morning, we have a Sunday morning fellowship for all are invited. It starts at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Doors open at 10:30. You want to come on down, but you can watch it at rebuildingtheman.com/church. rebuildingtheman.com/church. rebuildingtheman.com. I don't know why they won't put it up today, but rebuildingtheman.com. What? Huh? Oh, okay. rebuildingtheman.com/church. 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Check it out. If you were not there, check it out. It was amazing. I want you to know there's nothing like working on you, really. You are responsible for you as an adult. To stay in your darkness or to overcome. It's up to you. So check it out. It was amazing. Some of you might know that RFK, Robert Kennedy, according to reports, suspended his campaign and he's now endorsed the great white hope, Donald Trump. Isn't that amazing? And so when I saw this on Friday night, and I did see it on Fox there when I was watching Jesse Waters' show, and they showed this. And when they brought him out, Kennedy out, to endorse the great white hope, it was a major deal. They had the bright lights and just sparkling everywhere. It was like a convention. It was a major announcement. And even Donald Trump said, I've never, ever introduced anyone in that way before. That's the first time I've never introduced anyone. And it was amazing introduction. So according to Fox, independent I'm just reading something from it. You're right, Nick. It was definitely Donald Trump, that's for sure. But independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. on Friday announced he is suspending his campaign to support former President Donald Trump. What do y'all think about that? What do y'all think about the fact that Kennedy is supporting, first of all, a Republican, and secondly, the Great White Hope of all Republicans, right? And I find it so interesting. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what's going to happen next. First, Elon Musk supporting the Great White Hope. And now Kennedy. There's been others, too. I never thought for one second that one day I would see a Kennedy supporting a Republican, and especially a good, serious one like Donald Trump. Because y'all got to realize in the 60s, I guess 70s, 60s and 70s, the Kennedys were the Democratic Party. They owned it. And the blacks back then, 50s and 60s and 70s maybe, they loved, I mean, just loved the Kennedys, really. They pushed aside Jesus Christ's picture and put up Kennedy's picture, the president. President Kennedy's picture on the wall, really. At nearly every black household you went to, I'm not saying all, but nearly, they had Robert Kennedy's picture up there. I think, no. What was the President Kennedy's first name, John? Or Nick?
Which one? You were talking about the previous Kennedy? JFK, John F. Kennedy?
Yeah, John F. Kennedy. John Kennedy.
Sorry, I had Robert on the mind.
Yeah. His picture was all over the place, and the blacks loved him. And the Kennedy ruled the Democratic Party. Who would have thought that one day a Kennedy would be supporting a Republican? You just never know. That's why I tell you to have a wait-and-see attitude about all things, because you just don't know. You just don't. How about wait and see? What's wrong with waiting and seeing? What's wrong with, think about it. Why do you have to know in advance? What's the rush to the point that you start guessing? But anyway, Kennedy's campaign is asking swing state to remove his name from the ballot because he does not want to be a spoiler, but he will remain on the ballot in states that he considers red or blue, he said. One thing I saw Kennedy in an interview, and he was saying that he was talking about how badly, poorly, awful the Democratic Party treated him when he announced that he was running. Number one, he could hardly get, I think he said most of his interviews came from Fox News. He could hardly get any interviews on the other networks. They didn't want him because the Democratic Party didn't want him. They didn't want him, so they would not interview him. They wouldn't give him any opportunity to put his message out there as to what he's doing and why he's running, except for Fox. And then the Democratic Party, when he ran, they wouldn't even give him police protection. You know how if you're running as a candidate, they give you Secret Service protection or something like that? They would not give it to him. You know, I heard more and more how the Democratic Party treated him. I never thought the Democratic Party would treat a Kennedy that way. And it's not that I agree with the Kennedys. I'm just saying they were, at one time, the Democratic Party. I guess they've been replaced by Obama and his whatever, the fallen messiah, Barack Obama. I guess the party has been replaced with Obama. but they treated him badly. So now he's endorsed the Great White Hope. What do y'all think about that? Isn't that a good idea? It's like when he endorsed President Trump last Friday, it wiped out all that emotional crap that the Democratic Party had put on at the Democratic National Convention. It just kind of wiped that out. You forgot about that immediately. That was sickening. That was insane, the Democratic Convention. It was so emotional, it should have made anyone sick, whether you love emotions or not. But anyway, here's the NBC news coverage of JFK.
Kennedy Jr.
Tonight, in a move likely to help former President Trump, independent candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. suspending his campaign.
Oh, I promised the American people that I would withdraw from the race if I became a spoiler.
And announcing he will now endorse Mr. Trump.
I was surprised to discover that we are aligned on many key issues.
Kennedy suggesting Trump offered to enlist him in his administration. He originally launched his White House bid as a Democrat, then becoming an independent, saying his principles, including protecting free speech, led him to today's decision.
Staying on the ballot in the battleground states, I would likely hand the election over to the Democrats with whom I disagree on the most existential issues.
Late today, former President Trump thanking his opponent turned ally.
We just had a very nice endorsement from RFK Jr., Bobby. He's a great guy, respected by everybody.
Amazing. Oh, I know the Democrats must be burning up, on fire. They don't like that. What the? And here's another NBC report on Trump and Kennedy ending feuds and their agreement on safe food and a chronic disease epidemic.
It's a major shift from the harsh words he had for him just a few months ago.
RFK Jr. is a Democrat plant, a radical left liberal who's been put in place in order to help crooked Joe Biden.
Kennedy appearing late tonight with Trump in Arizona.
We talked about not about the things that separate us because we don't agree on everything, but on the values and the issues that bind us together. And one of the issues that he talked about was having safe food and ending the chronic disease epidemic.
Amazing. You know, when Kennedy was speaking about that, the food and the chronic disease epidemic. I realize he's right about that. It is everybody and their mama has some type of physical ailment going on. And the food ain't no good. It's like, you can tell that the food is not healthy. And I know they mix it up with stuff to try to make it taste good, but it's still something wrong. And the children are fat as a pig. Have you noticed children are fat? Children used to not be fat at one time. I remember when I was growing up, black women were not fat. I'm serious. Black women were not fat. And even the girls that I grew up with, they were like thin. Nice little bodies, and I knew one fat girl in high school. But for most part, the girls were not fat. So it's not true that black women have always been as fat as they are today. It's hard to find a thin black woman. Everybody fat. I'm like, what the? And I guess it's the food about the blacks being so depressed with anger that came from the mother and the yearning for the father. It just, they have been given permission to be fat to the point that in the media and elsewhere, they are pushing fat as good. If you notice when you see commercials now that has black women in it, nearly all, not all, but most of the commercials are fat black women. And they try hard to make you accept fat as good. It's not healthy, nor is it good. But I was interviewing a black woman on one of the Fallen State episodes that's going to be coming up sometime soon. And she mentioned, too, that she like, remember a time when black women were not fat? I'm like, yeah, you're right about that. They were not fat. And now they're pushing. It's amazing how when the world wants you to accept something, they or not accept something, they push it accordingly. And if you're not in control of your own life, you don't know you've been tossed around and made to believe without realizing you've been made to believe. According to the Trust for American Health, TFAH, 41.9% of adults in the United States have obesity as of September 2023. Everybody fat. I saw this one commercial, and it had a fat black woman on it. Young, she seemed to be kind of young, but she was fat. And they were pushing deodorant, I guess, for women, or some type of stuff. And she like, oh, it smells good on the arm, blah, blah, blah. And it smells good down here, too. I'm like, you fat, nasty, helpful. Go sit down. Nobody want to know that. But anyway, my country is gone. My country is gone. So Kennedy is right. Oh, there she is. She like all.
Is this actually her?
That's her.
No way. Yeah. I'm not showing it yet. Here, look.
I don't know if we can show it. Yeah, we don't want to show it.
Oh, you don't show it? Okay.
No, we don't want to promote them.
Okay, gotcha.
But she's a fat black woman. She put deodorant under her arm. And then she says good for that. And she's fat. Nobody want to see that. But anyway, I'm just saying, I want y'all to know when I was growing up in the good old days when boys were boys and men were men, black women were not fat for the most part. Yeah, you run across one or two, but not everybody fat. I mean, like every black woman fat, except for a few. So here's a picture posted on X yesterday by RFK Jr. showing his and Trump's reconciliation. Nice. Amazing. You just never know. Never, ever, ever know. And according to the news report, Kennedy's family responded to this, right? And this is something else that is new. Really. I have never, ever, ever, ever. I'm not saying it didn't happen. It's just that I just never heard. I never heard a Kennedy criticize another Kennedy in public. With all the rumors and the things that they were accused of, I've never heard of a Kennedy criticizing a Kennedy in public. This is new. When I come back from the break, I'll play this for you, and then your phone calls and super chat. A short break, back in a moment. 888-77-JESSE.
Hey, Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer. You know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and His love. It's going to be amazing, man. Jesse. I want to play this. By the way, the Hake Report is coming up at the top of at 9 a.m. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He Black, Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And after that, at 4 p.m. Pacific time, the American Anchor Baby. Energy all over the place. The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. All right? You don't want to miss it. I hope you had a chance to check out Punchy TV. We did another new episode this past Monday, last Monday, at 2 p.m. And today, I think it's 2. Let me check. Yeah, 2 p.m. At 2 p.m. today, we have a brand new episode at 2 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube. On YouTube and punchy.tv, P-U-N-C-H-I-E, all right, at 2 p.m. So get ready. Are you ready? Get ready. So here's a soundbite from NBC where Kennedy's family responded with criticism while his supporters responded with continued support. Watch this from NBC.
Kennedy, a member of a storied family in Democratic politics, now endorsing the Republican nominee, is already sparking criticism from within his own family. JFK's grandson, Jack Schlossberg, posting RFK is for sale, works for Trump, bedfellows, and loving it. Kamala Harris is for the people. While Kennedy saying his wife, actress Cheryl Hines, is very uncomfortable with his endorsement. But supporters of RFK Jr. today telling us they'll follow his move to back Trump.
I have no choice but to.
I will, yeah, because I trust Bobby.
Nice. Do you know, and maybe I missed it. Really? Maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it. But do you know of any other time where a Kennedy publicly criticized, no matter what you heard about him, right? Publicly criticized another Kennedy? Have any of you ever heard of that? And I used to think that the reason they were not doing that because, you know, you heard about one of the Kennedy drowning some woman in a car accident, accidentally drowning someone, and all that different thing. You've heard a lot about them. But I don't know of any time that a Kennedy went public about it. And I used to think it was because it was the old school way. In the olden days, when boys were boys and men were men, family members never went public and criticized one another. It just wasn't, it wasn't kosher. It wasn't the right thing to do. Even though they may not have agreed, they would never go public. That family member would go all over the place. Everything's screwed up now. The millennium way now. Up is down and down is up. But I'm just wondering, the Kennedy family went public against them. I bet you the daddy and the brothers who have gone expired already, I bet they'll turn it over in their graves. Their family member have got stooped so low. Where is the love? And as the anchor baby says, no one loves you like your own family. If this is love, give me hate. Not hate, but hate. I have a quick question, and then I get to your calls from my experts. I just thought about it right now, and I'm like, oh, this is very, very interesting. So I need my experts to come in. They didn't know about it, folks, so they were not already set up or ready for it. They had no idea. This is like a last-minute thing from Jesse Peterson. And so they're doing other things, but they're coming. My experts are here. And while they're getting adjusted, way over yonder on the board is the Anchor Baby.
Hello, hello.
And he's the host of the Anchor Baby Show and an expert here at, he's on at 4 p.m. Pacific time, one of the experts here. And over here is Joel Friday TV. He's an expert and the host of the Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time and an expert. And way over yonder is the Hake Report, the host of the Hake Report. And an expert here. So I start with the Anchor Baby. I start with Joel first. Since I started with, I think, the Anchor Baby and then him. You're familiar with Kamala Harris running for president, right? And are you aware that she has not done any interviews?
Yeah.
You aware of that?
Yeah.
And you too, Hake?
I've heard such.
Okay, how about you, Anchor Baby?
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing from Republicans. She's not doing any interviews.
I saw a couple of times when she was getting on the plane and they asked her some stupid questions. She came on real fast. But that was an interview. What are the possibilities in your mind, if you have any, that she... Why your eyes are so red? You've been drinking.
I knew that was going to
come. Your eyes look bloodshot.
I knew that was going to come back up.
Be honest. Are you like drinking at night?
We got to do experts at 7, 6. We gotta, you got to give us at least an hour to shake off the weekend.
His eyes are like bloodshot hanging over red.
I have this extreme infatuation with skating as of late.
Oh, you wanna, really?
Ice skating or roller skating?
Roller skating.
You so got I tricks? Go,
and the only
time. Rollerblading or roller skates?
With the skates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
The only time. Yeah. And the only time the only hour that they have is like late.
Late?
Yeah.
And so you stay up late roller skating? Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I understand it now. I totally understand it.
It's funny because people will think that, like a parent would think, like, what have you been up to? Where you been? And then the child is like, I just been to the skating rink.
I know. But you're like a grown man. Oh, I was in the skating rink. A grown man. But I understand it.
Yeah.
A Christian got to do something.
Yeah.
And so, like, you stay until, like, 11 or 12 or something?
Yeah.
Closes.
And I think
really?
That, yeah. But I don't know that it's going to be, I mean, I feel it a little bit tired, but I don't know I'm going to look tired. And obviously, I keep coming in here with red eyes, so.
They're like, bloodshot red. They're like, not play red. So when
no, not that. I'm trying to see how red they are, but I don't know. I just
they're like sleepy, the drop red.
I'm not a detail oriented guy, maybe.
They feel wider.
Yeah, normally bright eye, bushy tail.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe I have to just try to take a nap or something before I go so I get some sleep for the day.
You have to get up so early in the morning.
Yeah.
What time do you go?
It's like from 8 to 11-ish.
So you go at 8 yeah. and you stay until 11-ish.
Yeah. Well, I always say I'm going to leave at 10, but it never happens.
Right. Always lie to yourself when you say that. Amazing. But yeah. Anyway, Kamala Harris has not done any interviews or anything. And when she, and because she hasn't done any interviews, let's say she continued this throughout this whole, the rest of this campaign, what are the possibilities she just might win?
I don't know. I think it doesn't look good for her where people don't get a chance to see, get to know her personality and what she's like.
Right.
But I kind of think that, and this is, you know, my opinion, I could be totally wrong. I kind of think that she's a little bit afraid of the criticism of her personality because people make fun of all the little things that she does. Yeah. And she goes on interviews and she's real awkward, kind of. Like she's real kind of weird. And I think that people look at that and they kind of like, it kind of hurts her campaign. So I think that maybe she's avoiding it because of that.
And in not knowing, because we don't know what the outcome going to be in life or anything, is there a possibility she can win without doing an interview? Will you be surprised? I'll put it that way. Will you be surprised if she won and didn't do any interviews?
I wouldn't be surprised because...
You would be?
I would not.
Would not be. Why not?
Because... anything can happen. Nowadays, we don't know what's going on. I don't want to get too into detail with that, right. But we already know anything is possible. Yeah. So they can do no interviews and still come up by a landslide.
Well, you think about that, hate that she has not done any real interviews, and if she doesn't do any between now and November, or if she does one, it's all soft. What would you be surprised if she would win? Should win?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if she were to win.
Why not?
Because the media props her up, and I think that they have said in the past that media supporting the Democrat Party, the liberal media bias, accounts for like a 10% sway. It has been estimated, I have heard, in terms of supporting making people support Democrats.
Yeah.
Over Republicans, and add to that the media bias against Trump and people's brainwashing against Trump and how they hate men. It's quite possible that
she
would
win.
That she would win, even though she doesn't face the heat like Trump does. And I mean, people commented about how Joe Biden ran his campaign from his basement.
Yeah,
he did interviews, but he did interviews over Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and he won. He was the most popular in history.
Yeah,
I mean, because they changed. They said, we need to do mail-in ballots because of the virus. So everybody was voting.
Will you be surprised, Anchor Baby, if she were to win?
Honestly, no. This is the strategy. It's so strange to see it. It's like I started watching you, saw Trump run. And it feels like this cycle, the Democrats or whoever got together in the room, were like, okay, mask off. We need to go 100% into manipulation mode.
Yeah.
Just emotions. Because like they know, we know how human nature works. Let's just go with that and just try and hoodwink. If we just get them excited enough and don't do interviews, don't do anything real, we can maybe push her all the way through.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Joel, you said something during the Puncher TV discussion we had, and that you were talking about how emotional the Democratic convention thing was. And I thought about that, and I'm like, I'm not surprised how emotional it was, but how people fell for it, and were just based on emotion.
Yeah, it's like you – and you also made a point when we were talking that, you know, these events are ran so well that they feel like concerts.
Uh-huh. That was a concert. Yeah. That was a good, fun concert.
It felt like one of those entertaining worship services.
Yeah. Yeah.
With sure. good speakers and yeah. good singers and stuff.
It was a yeah. concert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on top of it, these are people that they look up to because they see them as very important because yeah. they're changing the world and the – and the laws. So when they see their favorite politician putting on a concert, it just for them it's just like it's everything.
It was amazing too how the Democrat, because everybody was kind of expecting the Democratic convention to be boring and not really that interesting, and a lot of people going to be protesting and all that. So that was like a setup too. Mm-hmm. It didn't go that way. And I talked to some people afterward that I've been running into, black folks. I'm like, what do you think about it? And a couple of white folks, too. Oh, they loved it. I'm like, yeah. did you learn anything new about her? What is she for? Well, we'll find that out once you get in. I'm like...
Sounds like Nancy Pelosi.
Your first election? Oh, right. Well, welcome.
I'm like, but what about the fact she's already in? She's already vice president. Well, that was Joe Biden, they say. So this woman can possibly win.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too, is that the I don't know if you want to get
no,
to
go
that.
Ahead, yeah.
The funny thing, too, is that, like, the Democrats, because they're this way, you know, they're emotional in this way, they appeal to, the artist and the celebrities that are in, like, the music industry.
Yeah.
But that also means that they have those people working their events. So they know how to use the right connections to help them put on in a crazy, convincing, influential show to get them
they brought
to,
out Oprah.
To win. Yeah.
They brought out Big Mama Michelle.
The Clintons. Everybody.
And they lied. I don't know if they lied, but they were pretending that there was going to be a surprise guest. And they would think they had put out the word that somebody did. I don't know who did it. That it was going to be Beyonce or something like that. Remember that? Y'all heard that?
Yeah, I did.
And now I hear that Beyonce was never set up to perform there. And they were saying, hey, that the Renees did that because they wanted more people to watch Camilla's feet.
Oh, interesting.
That's why they had a
who was the
surprise guest. It was supposed to be Beyonce. Some people were saying it was going to
be. But there was one, right? Wasn't there a surprise guest?
No, there was not one. Not at the end of near that point. I don't think they had a surprise. I might be wrong. But it wasn't Beyonce, that's for sure. Or that woman that says that a player, player, player gonna hate.
Oh, Taylor Swift. I know. People were all speculating like crazy. Yeah.
It was speculating. But the people in the audience were waiting for a surprise guest too. They thought too there was gonna be Beyonce. What do you think about that?
That's interesting. That's a good way to build hype to make it. Like I said, she's propped up. She's the Kamala Harris is propped up. Like this whole excitement is.
And she's not about phony. Anything.
I know.
That's such a good point, Jesse, that they're acting like as if they're not the ones who were president the last 4 years.
Right. I'm telling these friends of mine, she's already in there. She's been in there for almost 4 years now. But that don't matter. They were Joe Biden. She was just with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
She's the border czar. No, they're she's not in. The border czar. The media says, she was never the border czar.
They gaslighted me.
Actually.
They probably right about that because she ain't do no borders on. But anyway.
I've never seen an election that's more split like this, where it's let's go all ego, and then this other side is like, well, let's try and be real.
Yeah. Who made the rule? Yeah, absolutely. Who made the rule? Yeah.
I was just going to say to that is that it's a tricky thing because if you look at it from a blind eye, luckily we have Trump, right? And Trump in itself, just as an individual, is entertaining.
Yeah.
So you're lucky for that.
Great white hope.
And if you look at it from a blind eye, though, let's just say you take Trump out and put like a regular Republican. It looked horrible.
It would not. It would already be over.
True. Trump is the only. He's the only reason why it's still alive right
that
now.
That is so true.
Yeah. He's propping up the Republicans.
It would already be over.
Yeah.
True.
Lord have mercy. Who made the rule, and then I want to take some call. Who made the rule that when you run for office, you need to tell the people what you're going to do? Who made that rule?
You gotta convince them.
Apparently, you don't have to. Joe Biden's doing it the first time around, and now she's not doing it. Who made that rule?
I don't know. I think maybe whites, because they want to know what your policies are going to be.
Yeah.
They want to know whether to trust you, whether you're going to, what you say you're going to do, and then compare that to what you actually do.
Well, apparently, it's not that important.
You'd think you wouldn't need a rule for that.
Right.
It's like, wait, we're voting, right? That's what we're doing.
I need to know why I'm voting for you. But not with Camilla. Y'all need to vote for her simply because she's black female, and she's trying to build her career.
Yeah,
you need to help her with her career.
And she, while she's staying in the house, she ain't coming out to play with you guys.
I know. What a mess. Oh, one last quick thing. I noticed, too, that when Obama, Big Mama Michelle, and the Father Messiah, Barack Obama, and others criticized Trump, they were nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They were hard, nasty. Nasty criticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when white people criticize, they're not so nasty. And so I realized that black people, when black people criticize you, they are some hard, nasty, destroy you criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas white people criticize, criticism kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, they're not as hard. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, it definitely plays into the whole anger thing.
Black people know how to bring you down.
Yeah. Because, like the people who criticize and who are really angry, they really want to see you fall and
hurt. Uh-huh.
Yes.
They ain't playing.
Yeah.
Black people don't play with criticism.
Yeah, they don't hold back, and they say exactly what they're thinking.
And it'd be
And they're
nasty.
Encouraged to do that.
Whereas
the other way around with the whites, you're not encouraged to be outright honest. You're supposed to be measured, reasonable, based on the substance and not personal attacks and all that.
And Trump was saying that everybody's telling him to be nice. The people that is helping him in his campaign, they're telling him, oh, don't be so hard this time, though. Be nice, just keep it even key and just say these little nice. And Trump, like, they ain't saying, look how they criticize me. They ain't saying nothing nice about me.
That's important. That's such a good point, because when he's doing that with the truth. And so they're trying to make him hold back the truth, which is love, which is, and these are the Republicans saying, stay on brand. But when Michelle Obama does that, she's showing the true hate she has within.
I mean, deep hatred, too.
Yeah. And all the American flags they had there, we're patriots and all that talk. In that moment, Michelle Obama and everybody cheering her pure hate was proof that they're the very same old Democrat.
Amazing. You're right in that. I forgot what you said about the blacks and the criticism.
About the anger.
It is the anger.
Yeah.
The anger that come from their mother and the yearning for their father. And the blacks haven't dealt with this in 70 years, so it's just getting even worse.
Mm.
Black people know how to criticize.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They pull out the devil and his horns.
Oh, they mean it.
Oh, my God. And they want to destroy you. Well, white people like nice. Oh, I disagree. You're a liberal.
Yeah. We're still friends.
Right. Let me take a break. Your phone call is Super Chats when I come back. Hate news, not the fake news. Back in a moment. I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility, from rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam, how the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. The blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to rebuildingtheman.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It is Monday, August 26th, Happy Men's History Month, AD 2024. It's Female Monday, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are full. JLP will be right back to more great content. But first, fake news, not fake news. Lights are out, according to Comedy Nonsense Network, CNN, in many parts of Ukraine today, as Russia launched an overnight attack, aerial attack, on power grids across that country. Dozens of missiles and drones targeted almost all regions of the Ukraine, so said officials, including the capital, Kiev, the so-called capital, and the southern port city of Odessa, not to be confused with Odessa, Texas, Odessa, Ukraine, 1S. The presidential race, the race for the black on the inside White House to make it white on the inside again, hopefully, with Trump, is entering its final stretch with the so-called vice president cackling Kamala Harris and our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, targeting battleground states. Battleground states preparing for their upcoming debate. Kamala is looking toward the momentum from the Democrat National Convention last week, DNC, as she tours the key swing state of Georgia this week, where Atlanta is and all those blacks. Shout out. Meanwhile, Trump will campaign in Wisconsin and Michigan as he seeks to regain the spotlight. Those states and a few others will play a big role in determining who will secure the 270 electoral votes needed to win the November election. With party conventions over, a September 10th presidential debate will be the race-defining moment on the calendar. No mention of RFK from Commie Nonsense Network, I notice. And peace in the Middle East. Not. The Israeli military launched what they called a preemptive strikes over the weekend against Hezbollah in Lebanon, as the Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah said that they carried out their own attacks in response to the killing of a top commander. The latest strikes are some of the most serious yet between Israel and Hezbollah, who have been exchanging fire for months. They also took place just hours before the mediation talks resumed in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, which aimed to strike a ceasefire hostage deal between Israel and Hamas. Separately, polio vaccines are for more than 1.2 million people been delivered to Gaza Strip. This comes as the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Ramallah is preparing for a large-scale vaccination campaign. Get vaxxed, Palestinians, to prevent highly infectious virus. The highly infectious virus, and this is actually a serious disease, right? Polio, from further spreading in the embattled enclave. What a mess, huh? Terrible. Speaking of terrible, meanwhile in America, an Alaska landslide. A landslide in southern Alaska yesterday, left one person dead and several others injured. Some residents been ordered to evacuate as officials warn of another slide could strike nearby. The slide sent a dense wave of snapped trees, toppled power poles, and dirt crashing down into a row of hillside homes in the coastal city of Ketchikan. K-E-T-C-H-I-K-A-N, Ketchikan. All residents have been accounted for, so said officials. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy, nice, they have a man who is governor now, issued a disaster emergency declaration for the city, stating in a post on X, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, all state agencies are directed to provide whatever assistance is needed. Ketchikan's a population of about 14,000 people. Not a huge city, but not small. Nestled among the southern portion of Alaska's Inside Passage, which is a water route famed for its stunning landscapes, fjords, and glaciers. Cool, huh? The city claims to be the salmon, capital of the world. Pretty cool. And by the way, the Telegram CEO was arrested in France for a lack of moderation. What? On his platform, Telegram, the Russian guy, Mark Zuckerberg of Russia. What a mess. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Destin Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. One line open. You can get involved at 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. And my brand new biblical question for this week is a doozy. Do you want to be different? Do you want to be different? Do you want to be different? It is an amazing question. And we dealt with yesterday, we dealt with at the fellowship. We dealt with last week, biblical question of what's going on earth. We dealt with that. Check it out. Rebuildingaman.com/church. And you can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad if you're busy. iPhone or iPad, no matter where you're doing and moving about and doing what you're doing, Maybe you're in an airplane and the doors are falling off, or there's a fight on the plane, or your plane is delayed, or whatever. You still could be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling 605 on Talk Stream Live. 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. A bond. JLP Cash App. It's Monday. Every Monday is Female Monday. All my life.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. Soul. We've been lied to for so long.
I do believe. We were supposed to have had a guest, but I guess we're not going to have him this time around. Okay. I want to go. He's not there yet, right?
Not just yet. He's still connecting.
Okay, they're working on it now, folks. Let me go to Sean. A first-time caller out of Spain, heard around the world by everybody and they mama. Sean, out of Spain, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
All is well, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing pretty okay. I love that, you know, I love the fact that I found you and... I think you're a breath of fresh air when it comes to spirituality. You're very practical and you have humor. You're very different in a good way. And I can't believe that I found that in America, because my whole life, basically, or most of my life, I just never found someone that's like you. So I'm going to be honest. I have a little bit of butterflies, and I'm shaking a little bit because, you know, I just Yeah, first time caller. I get it. You know.
Yeah, I understand. But, and why are you shaking?
I'm good on stage, though, so I'll handle it fine.
Why are you? What's on your mind that's making you shake right now? What are the thoughts telling you?
You know, I'm not thinking of it, but I have my laptop not far from me, and I know there's comments on there. So
oh, I see.
Whether they roast me or not, I don't really care. But
nice.
You know,
yeah, don't think about that.
Yeah, yeah. But also, it's like it's not like I'm meeting Buddha, but it's kind of like the same sort of, it's like I'm meeting someone that spiritually I can sense is like really wise. And yeah, it's just kind of like, it's kind of like I'm not on holy ground. I don't want to be.
Yeah, I understand. Well, just relax and just Jesse, but I do understand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead.
I wanted to.
Let me ask, how old are you, Sean?
So I'm 28, and I'll turn 29 in 2 months.
And how old are you today?
28.
Nice. Okay. Go ahead, buddy.
Right now I moved here a year ago, and I took on some English teaching jobs, and I'm looking after my grandmother, who's 87. And she's in the residential home, and I take her out, and I sort of take care of her as well. And I'm the only person in the family that can really do it because I'm not married, and I have the time. And in this past year, I've kind of been searching for, sort of getting back into spirituality. And after a pretty dark period, 2 years of working a really horrible job, and having horrible bosses, and not really having luck with my love life, and a string of other things that I won't mention for respect of other people's, you know.
Right.
But the point is, I got back into spirituality, and I've heard, I've gone through the Sadhgurus, the Eckhart Tolles, and I don't know if you've heard of this one, Francis Lucille. He's a French guy. He's in California. I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
No, I have not.
Okay. These are all guys that kind of have, they're not, some of them are not new age, right? But they kind of have this, they have this smell of, they're not Christian, but they're kind of, Zen Buddhist or whatever, but also practical. And they don't necessarily disbelieve in God, but they do believe in God, but in a different way, and they don't necessarily believe in an afterlife. But they do, but they don't, and it's, I don't want to go into that. But
right.
The point is that when I was a kid, I was like, I believed in God, and I went to Catholic school and all that stuff off and on, and I was I felt invincible because I believed in Him, and it's like everything was intuitive. Everything made sense. And then, of course, stuff happens, and then you kind of maybe lose your way. And then someone like you sprouts up in my life. And then it's like, oh, that's how, you kind of get it, I guess. And I can see that. And it's like sort of my old way of seeing things. You kind of share that. So the framework that you have is similar to what I had in the past. It's just coming back now. So
nice.
What I'm asking basically in a roundabout way is it, do I have to, I can't believe in the Bible word for word, and I'm not a fundamentalist, and I still have trouble. I can't really, with Jesus, it's hard, right? I don't really want to. It just feels like a guy that, I don't want to say Sky Daddy, but all these atheists, they all say, oh, Sky Daddy, Sky Daddy. And it's like, it's hilarious, right? But it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, you're basically, there's a lot of people that just, they rely on, they use that as a crutch. And I read Nietzsche, and,
Your question for me is what? Because of time, what's your question for me?
Sorry. So my question is, am I better off just believing in my old belief system and sort of like not really kind of going with, you know, the Zen Buddhist or the just this typical religion is not for me. But believing in God and stuff like that, that would help me probably a lot more.
So are you better off believing in God than believing in all that other stuff?
Right.
You should only believe in God. And right. Eventually you should get beyond belief and know right. God. You want to know God. And so once you let once you let belief and hope disappear, you shall know God, and that's where you want to be.
Right.
And so don't hold on to the knowledge of God. Don't hold on to the ideas that you may have where people have taught you about God or you may have read in the Bible or anywhere. Let all that go so that you can know him. You want to live by knowing him, not the knowledge of him.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes tons of sense, yeah.
And are you doing the silent prayer?
No, but I'm going to do it more regularly.
Yeah, do it so you can practice being present with the truth at all times. You want to not be lost in your head about the past or the future, which doesn't exist, but you want to be present, and then you shall know God, and it's going to be amazing. All of your old ways, your old thinking, your old everything will fall away, and you'll be in the world, but not of it. The Father will be with you.
Got it.
So let me ask, you said that you're taking care of your grandmother at 28?
Yeah.
So there is no other female in your family member in your family that can take care of your grandmama?
That's true, right.
There are no other female in your family?
The aunts are they all have their own lives and they're kind of busy. And then my sister, she's doing her own thing. And so I volunteered, but it's like I'm basically one of the only person that can do it, yeah.
Do what you want, Sean, but I highly recommend you give your grandmama back to her children. That's not your responsibility to take care of your grandmama. You're too young, you're a male, and it's not your responsibility. Those people are selfish, and they have dumped off grandma on you because they don't want to be bothered with her.
Yeah.
And you're going to regret that as you get older. Grandma is going to destroy you. Just like she destroyed her daughters and sons, and they don't want her, they don't like her, and your family members don't love you, they have dumped grandmama off on you. I highly recommend you give grandmama back to them, and you live your life.
Right.
You are a man, you got nobody stuck with grandma.
Right.
What do you think about that?
It's weird. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's like uncanny how you know all that. Like it's absolutely true. Like she was, I don't know how you know it, but it's like my grandmother was very difficult. And yeah it's like you said. Yeah.
They hate grandma. Her own children hate grandma.
Yeah.
And they have dumped this evil woman off on you. And she's going to destroy you.
I don't know how you know that, Jesse. I really don't. But it's like, yeah.
I mean, it's just common sense. She should be, she'll either be in an old folks home or be with her daughters, not the grandson.
She is in an old folks home, Jesse.
Well, leave her there and you stay. Don't be bothered with her.
Okay.
And let them know that grandma is not your responsibility. You be upfront with them. They don't love you. Right. They don't care about you. They just care about themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't get stuck with grandmama. I'm telling you, you're going to regret it.
Right, yeah.
All right?
Yep.
So, Sean, I got to run. I have a guest I need to get to, and will you call me again?
Of course.
Okay. I know did you want to ask me about ambition versus expectation?
Well, I don't want to take your time, Jesse.
Ask me real fast, and then I'll run. I have a chat, my friend.
Okay. Lofty ambitions, like, you know, anything in the arts, anything in, for some people, athletics, whatever. Is there a point where, I mean, basically dreams. So should I keep my dreams? I mean, obviously, I should keep my dreams alive. But where is the cutting off point where I should just say, "Hey, this is not physically possible anymore.
Let me tell you this for sure, and we'll talk about it another time. You should not be ambitious, nor do you have. Should you have any expectation? You need to drop all ambitions and drop all expectation and just live a simple life. And you will not regret it. But if you're ambitious, you're going to end up regretting it.
Okay.
Just do what's in front of you and live your life, not compare it to anyone else. But you should drop ambitions and expectation. Have no expectation.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, bye. 888-7753-773. I have with me your friend, my friend, and everybody in the world friend, Chad O. Jackson. And I have to tell you, he is. And I'm not just saying it. When I first met him, I'm like, what the? Chad is an entrepreneur, a researcher, best known for his appearance in the 2020 film Uncle Tom 1. And 2022 film, Uncle Tom 2. Chad frequently contributes to podcasts, also radio shows, news programs, and the Uncle Tom YouTube channel, advocating for more Christian ethics, family values, independence, and international citizenship. And I wanted to talk to Chad for a few minutes. It's Man History Month, and I kind of want to catch up with him about Uncle Tom, and I'm going to definitely get back to your call. Chaz, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Jesse, thank you for having me. Good to be on again.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you as well. And it's intentional citizenship, not international citizenship. I'm not a communist.
But
yeah, intentional citizenship, just basically being intentional about, you know, the fact that you as a man, it's your responsibility to make sure that you have peace, structure, and stability in your country. So, that's what I advocate for. Yeah.
Nice. And so, Uncle Tom 2 is now on YouTube. And it's kind of free for everyone to see it, right?
Yeah, there's been a lot of folks asking if we can make it free before the election.
Yeah.
And then not only that, you know, we're moving up on the 2-year anniversary of having released Uncle Tom 2. This is information that stands the test of time. It's not a movie for a specific election. It's not a movie for a specific season. It's information that really every American should know. And so, you know, the more people see it, the merrier. So that's why we put it up on YouTube.
That was an amazing idea. I thought it was a good idea as well. I want to ask, what is a man?
A man is a person who, first of all, has a penis. That's number one. But then two, who steps into his role that God has established for him since the beginning. A man is someone who takes responsibility, who doesn't blame, who is a leader, who can be depended on. That's who a man is. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of people walking around with penises but are not men, unfortunately.
It is. So. It's sad. Let me ask. I know that you are an entrepreneur, and you're not a YouTuber guy and all that kind of stuff. Which would you prefer, to be an entrepreneur or a YouTube guy?
An entrepreneur. I mean, it's fun to do YouTube on the side. I do have a YouTube channel. I don't really post a lot on there just because of the time that I spend with my business and everything.
Yeah.
I do consider myself to be something of a Renaissance man because I do independent research.
Yeah.
I help out with the film company. I run my plumbing company. I have 4 children, all of whom are homeschooled. So just a lot going on. However, I do have a voice. God has gifted me with a voice. God has gifted me with the ability to do the research that I do and to share that information with people. And so I think it is something of a calling, and I try to use that to the best of my ability. But at the same time, I still got bills to pay, so I have to do the entrepreneurial thing as well.
That's right. So. And the reason I ask, because when I was growing up, we were encouraged to be business people, you know, to start your own business and be independent, think and do for yourself. I was just taught that way, so I know no other way. But I noticed in society today, that's not strongly encouraged for men to do that nowadays. It's like everybody want to be like a little YouTuber. They want a quick fix and fame.
And they don't have anything to say.
Right.
they got a microphone, but they don't have anything to say.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty, amongst other things that are happening with men, two men, it's pretty sad that entrepreneurship is not in the forefront in the way that it used to be.
No, you're totally right. And a lot of people blame it on them taking shop out of the school and taking this out of the school. And I guess that's a part of it, but it's a very small part of it because at the end of the day, it's the fathers that are supposed to be the ones that are teaching their boys how to use their hands, how to use tools, and basically instilling within their boys the spirit of entrepreneurship. I mean, right now I'm working with my sons. My oldest son is 11. My youngest son is 9. And I'm helping them start a lawn care company.
Nice.
And I'm making that part of their homeschool curriculum, where you're learning how to balance a book, where you're learning how to start a business, where you're learning how to make that business successful and having customer service and knowing how to deal with the administrative side of the business, not just the actual tangible work of that business. And so it's important that I, as their father, instill that in them. I can't just punt that responsibility to the schools. And so, you know, when people say like, oh, they took shop out of the school, like I get where they're coming from, but that's kind of the coward's way out. It's really your responsibility as a man to teach that to your sons in particular. And then your daughters, teach them to be homemakers, teach them, you know, how to care for the home, how to cook, how to clean, how to basically be the gentle, virtuous, feminine women that God has made them to be. That's our responsibility as parents. We can't blame the schools. I mean, your kids shouldn't be in the public schools to begin with. So that's my position on that. But you're absolutely right, Jesse. Entrepreneurship is not something that's encouraged in our day and age. We live in a technocracy where everybody's encouraged to get a social media or get a YouTube channel. Everybody feels like they have something to say, but they don't have wisdom.
Yeah.
How can you tell me something if you lack wisdom? But yet everybody and their dog has a YouTube channel. So the world is productive. America is productive when people work, when people hone skills. And, you know, I can tell you here in Texas, the average master plumber, the average age of master plumbers here in Texas is 55 years old. So there's just not a lot of people getting into the trades anymore. And I don't know. I'm afraid to see what our nation will look like in 20 years at the rate we're going.
You make a good point. In my high school, they had shop. We had that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't become an entrepreneur because of that. I became one because my grandfather taught me to be that way. You know, he was the head of the firm that we had. And so he just taught me to work as a kid. My parents taught me to work. And my father was an entrepreneur. I remember he started out with a motorcycle company. He used to sell and repair motorcycles. And then he opened up a cleaning company, cleaners, where you clean your clothes. And then he started his own church. And I always knew him as, you know, an entrepreneur. And so just in me to do that and encouraged by them, I have an entrepreneur academy that we're doing at Bond where we help guys start business or encourage them to. How do we bring men? Because I hear a lot of men now, they're still living at home with mama. They're afraid to move out. They say, well, I can't afford it. I'm like, you can get 2 or 3 jobs. You can't afford it. How do we encourage men? How do you encourage men to get back into that entrepreneur mentality? Don't be afraid to move away from mama and get out there and deal with life. What do you say to those men who are afraid after 18 to make that move?
I mean, basically everything that I just said, I try to be an example as well.
I know, but they haven't had that example, so they haven't had it. So then now they are afraid to do it. What do you say to those who have not had it?
Well, that's a very tough question, and I'm not trying to shirk away from it,
right.
But it's a very tough question simply because it is a spirit, Jesse.
Yeah.
It's a spirit that is very difficult to overcome, because if you're not ambitious, if you aren't someone who wants to have your own, someone who wants to have a family, someone who wants to be independent, if you're not motivated by that, then there's nothing that I can say that's going to get you up off the couch. I mean, I'm having trouble with this with my own little brother, unfortunately, who is 25 years old and still lives with my mother.
Wow.
And he tried to go to the Marines a few years ago, and she said, no, you're not going to go to the Marines. There's a war going on. He listened to her, and he's regretted it ever since.
Yeah.
And I try to encourage him, saying, look, you can have your own house. You can have your own car. You don't have to pay for a ride. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Just trying to basically encourage him by giving him the glories of what you can accomplish if you were to go out and get a job and this, that, and a third. But because he's not motivated by having his own, there's nothing really that you could say. And so it's I think it's a spirit. I think it's spiritual warfare. The lack of motivation, the lack of trying, the feeling of content. Mom will always be here. Dad will always be here. I can always live with them. It's staggering when you look at the numbers of to your point, young men who are still living at home.
Yeah.
We've never seen anything like this in American history. I think it's a spirit.
It also shows a lack of love from the parents, the father and the mother, right. Those fathers who allow us to have. Because my parents told me, you know what? When you're 18, you're out of here. You know, I'm like, I'm in Alabama on a plantation. I'm like, where am I going?
My dad told me the same thing. My parents actually split up the year after I graduated from high school. But growing up, my dad said, when you turn 18, you're out of here.
Yeah.
We've heard that at least every other day growing up as boys. And of course, my dad, just like your dad, he always had a business. He always had my brother and I outside working or going to work with him. So I had a front row seat to what entrepreneurship looks like. My little brother, they had him when I was a teenager. And so he didn't grow up in a home where he had both mom and dad in the household. So he didn't have that. Like, he grew up with my mom. So there's like a night and day difference when you look at him compared to my brother and I, both of us are in business together. My older brother and I, my older brother actually works for me, but my point is that you see that difference when it comes to growing up with a strong masculine entrepreneurial father and someone who doesn't. And I know men who didn't grow up with a father and are still entrepreneurs and real men. But that's why I say, you know, it comes back to an example, because if you didn't have that in your life growing up, then you need to see that in some fashion, you know. So it's to that extent that I try to be an entrepreneur. And there's guys that work for me who didn't have a father growing up, but because they see how I conduct business and how I do things, you've seen them come a very long way. So I don't think I'm going to change the world by any stretch of the imagination. However, I can point to tangible results when it comes to the people who are within my proximate area.
Amazing. I'm working with men now that are in their 50s and 60s, and they still live at home with mama. And they have become so depressed, and they have the lack of faith in that they can do it on their own now. I know one guy whose mother died, and he was like in his 60s, she expired. And though she is gone, he still can't move forward in life no more. It's just that he's stuck at her house. He just can't move forward. And I want the people to know that if you don't get up at some point and start doing, you will become depressed. You become doubtful. You stop believing that you can do it on your own. It's such a destruction for kids to live at home with their parents, especially boys, once they become a young man. It's just not good. Yeah. I want to take a quick break. I want to hold you over if I can. I have a few more questions for you about the Martin Luther King, the Civil Rights Movement, and also what do you expect with this upcoming election between the Great White Hope, Donald Trump, and a Kamala Harris woman. I got to take a quick break. Just a quick break, folks. My Men History Month And with Chad Jackson, and it's amazing. He looked like Martin Luther King, doesn't he? I'm like, is this Martin Luther King? What the? Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autograph copy, or call 800-411-BOND and donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-775-3773. At 9 a.m., the HAKE report, H-A-K-E report, is coming up from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. The guy with the good hair, you don't want to miss it. And at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday, Mend the Relationships, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. At 2 p.m. today, Punch It TV. We have our own network now. It's hard on the black man in America. I have my own network now, Punch It TV. And another brand new episode coming up at 2 p.m. on YouTube and punchit.tv, P-U-N-C-H-I-E, no Y, P-U-N-C-H-I-E, at 2 p.m. And last but not least, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Energy given to him by God. So listen, callers, I just had to do this Man History Month moment with Chad Jackson. And I have to say, when I first met Chad and then learned about the research that he did and the input he had in making Uncle Tom, too, and then finding out he was black, I'm like, what the? I have never met a black man who knows how to research. I'm telling you. I don't know where you get that from, but it's amazing. And, Chad, it's an honor to have you here again during Men's History Month. I want to ask, let me ask this first. What is it? Give me a couple of things that people don't realize about the civil rights movement that during your research you have discovered, and it's a part of Uncle Tom, too.
Yeah, so a part of Uncle Tom, too. So we didn't really go all the way in terms of exposing the civil rights movement like I really wanted to.
Yes.
With Uncle Tom Part 2. Because we understood in 2022, most people weren't quite there. You had to really lay the groundwork and really show them how Marxism works, show them how Marxism infiltrated all these countries across around the world in order to prep people and to prime people for how it came to America through the blacks, through the civil rights movement. And so we kind of end Uncle Tom Part 2 on a bit of a cliffhanger, setting it up for an Uncle Tom 2.5 or Uncle Tom 3. And and that's where we plan to really kind of go all in. So what we expose in part two, once again, is just how connected folks like Martin Luther King were. The fact that he wasn't what people who people think he is. He didn't write any of his speeches. He was a fraud. He was a drug addict. He was a sex addict. He was a fake pastor. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Didn't believe in heaven or hell.
Wow.
And so these are facts about who Martin Luther King really was. He was a believer in Marxism, and he wanted to use the Black church as a kind of incision point to usher in Marxism through the Black church, much like a Trojan horse. And so this is who he was. And we understood that just coming out the gate and saying that,
yeah,
you'll turn so many people off. So you really have to give them, you have to tell them how the cabbage is made before you serve it to them. So
Black people are like, you trying to kill my king? They love Martin Luther King more than love Jesus.
Right. That's true. This is actually true.
You know what?
What
I realize is that Black people don't understand socialism. I think they may start to understand a little bit more now. But when we were growing up, as far as I know it was with the leadership, right? But the word socialism and communism wasn't part of our thinking or communication. So I think that's why I was so easily thrown up on Black people, because they didn't understand what it was. They're not familiar with it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there was a study done by Cato Institute. It was either 2018 or 2019, where they asked different people from different ethnic backgrounds whether they prefer socialism or capitalism. Blacks were the only ethnic group in the entire country that had a higher favorability of socialism than of capitalism.
Yeah.
The Mexicans said they like capitalism better. The Asians said they like capitalism better. The whites said they like capitalism better. Blacks were the only ethnic group in the country that said they prefer socialism. I think it was 60% preferred socialism, whereas 40% preferred capitalism. And, you know, when I share that study with people,
amazing,
they say, oh, well, maybe Blacks don't understand what the word socialism means. And whenever they do these studies, they don't just say, hey, do you prefer socialism or capitalism? No, they explain what these different thoughts are. And then they say, which one do you prefer? And the fact is, the answer to why Blacks have a more favorable view of socialism is because of the civil rights movement, and not only the civil rights movement, but everything that came after.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about the Black Power movement in the 1970s, was totally Marxist. They like to brag about how, the Black Panthers, they started the free lunch program. Well, free lunch is socialism, whether you realize it or not. And then you move into the 90s, then you move into Barack Obama's era. All of these are drawing Black people more and more and more towards socialism. And what they're doing is they're appealing to this kind of instant gratification that many of us have. Socialism, the long-term effects of socialism are very detrimental, not only to the people, but to the nation at large. It goes against human nature, socialism does, because this whole concept of from each according to their ability to each according to their need doesn't work, because if I'm working hard, but I'm going to get at the end of the day the same amount of money, the same amount of rations as someone who's not working hard.
Yeah.
That's going to cause me to get bitter. That's going to cause me to get upset. And I'm going to start producing less. I'm going to start working less. And then the whole morale begins to decline in the nation. So socialism doesn't even work long term. But those who push socialism, like Kamala Harris and others, they are appealing to the instant gratification. I want you to scratch this itch now. She said that we're going to give $25,000 to all new home buyers to put toward a down payment.
Yeah,
that sounds good. But when that destroys the economy, then what? And then it's sure to destroy the economy. So socialism sounds good. It's pleasing to the ear. But, I think it's very telling that Blacks are the only ones who aren't thinking about the long-term effects. They're only thinking about what can I get out of it now.
Yeah. I even think I saw a Hurt report that they want to give that money to people who are not even citizens of this country
mm-hmm.
to to give that amount of money to buy a home. That's another setup in order to draw them into socialism. Am I right?
Right. 100% right. And not only that, they're building, she says she wants to build 3 million new homes, 3 million new projects across the country. And to the unproductive person who's not interested in working, who's not interested in pulling their own weight, that sounds good. But what they're doing is actually far more strategic than just trying to drum up votes from the unproductive element of society. They're going to place these projects strategically in places where they need votes.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing, and not only that, when they're changing the laws to make mass ballot harvesting legal in these areas as well. So in other words, a person can walk the halls of the housing projects with a mail bag, collecting all of these mail-in ballots and then taking them to the post office. And now all of a sudden, your favorite Democrat politician has 25,000 new votes.
Amazing.
So what they're doing is actually very elaborate, and they know what they're doing. It's not just a matter of like on the front end, they're galvanizing and drumming up votes because people like, oh, you're going to build new housing. Oh, you're going to make housing more affordable. Yeah, here's my vote. And then once they get in office, they start building these housing projects. They put them in strategic places where they can get even more votes, get even more. I call it building an army. That's what they're doing. They're building an army of senseless, quote unquote, voters to destroy the country. That's all they're doing.
What are the possibilities that Kamala Harris can win? I know we don't know the outcome until it happened, but between the race between Trump, the Great White Hope, mm-hmm. and Kamala, what are the chances that she can win? Or do you know?
Well, I'm a firm believer in that Trump has us in the bag.
Oh, good.
This is Trump's year. Trump is going to win this election. Trump is going to win it fair and square. However, the Democrats, along with the media, along with many of the courts, have a vested interest in Kamala Harris winning. So they're going to pull whatever they can to try to steal the election.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Kamala Harris went from in 2020, whenever they had the Democrat primaries, she was a senator at the time. She, you know, California is a very popular state. So she had that name recognition.
Yeah.
She first tried to win the endorsement of the Black Lives Matter kind of group and that contingent of society by deploying Jussie Smollett to do a race hoax on himself.
Major.
Now, the reason I say that is because Jussie Smollett and Kamala Harris are longtime family friends. They've known each other for decades. And so the whole idea was that he would, and mind you, this was the year of 2020 when there was a lot of talk of racism and George Floyd would later happen and things of this nature. So that was 2020, the summer of love, they called it. So at the beginning of the year, Jussie Smollett goes and does this race hoax on himself. Now, the story that broke thereafter was that, oh, he was trying to get better roles. He was trying to move from being a B-list actor to an A-list actor.
Yeah.
That wasn't it at all. What they were trying to do, because remember, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris were trying to push this anti-lynching bill in Congress, right? So she is trying to push this anti-lynching bill, and ironically, Jussie Smollett, a close family friend, has a noose tied around his neck in Chicago during the winter. It just doesn't add up. And so the whole idea was he would call the police, say that somebody tried to lynch him. The story would break. He would win the sympathy of the American people. And then thereafter, he would endorse Kamala Harris for president. That was the whole plan, but it all broke because people saw right through the hoax. So they weren't able to get far enough into the elaborate scheme where he would come out and endorse Kamala Harris for president.
And so are you saying that Kamala Harris and that guy was in cahoots with that?
Yeah, I think they were in cahoots.
Do you have any proof of that?
Will you look at, once again, the fact that Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, months before this race hoax, pushed the anti-lynching bill. And ironic, and not only that, you can look this up, Kamala Harris and the Smollett family they've been tight for decades. It wasn't as if they just ran into each other recently. No, they've been tight for decades. Amazing. They've been part of many social justice causes for decades. They've marched together. They protested together. The Smollett family donated to Kamala Harris's campaign when she was running for district attorney there in California. So they're extremely tight. Now, whether Kamala Harris knew that Jussie Smollett was about to do this or not, I think that question is the jury's still out on that.
Oh, okay.
However, you know, when you look at the fact that they are tight, when you look at the fact that she puts this bill up, this anti-lynching bill, and then surprisingly, Jussie Smollett, a few weeks later, somebody tries to lynch him. And then not only that, I think it was a couple days before this hoax happened, Kamala Harris announced that she's running for president. So, you know, the whole idea was to use that sympathy and say, okay, I, Jussie Smollett, the victim of racism, endorse Kamala Harris because I believe that she's going to be the best person to run this country. But then what happens? Pete Buttigieg, who was a mayor from a town that nobody's ever heard of, ends up pulling higher than her in 2020.
Yeah.
So that goes to show just how unpopular she was as a candidate. So she drops out of the race, and then Joe Biden says, I want a black woman to be my vice president, my running mate. So he picks up Kamala Harris as his running mate, and then the rest is history. So she's completely unpopular. So they go from that to all of a sudden she's the contender for the presidency of the United States in 2024 against Donald Trump, who's the most popular president in American history. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
So my point in this is saying that Kamala Harris is wildly unpopular. The reason why they're pushing her is because they understand just how big of a competition this is, that, you know, Trump has it in the bag. If they're willing to go out of their way where they're bringing all these celebrities to the DNC, they're sending text messages or doing all the things that they're doing, there's nothing that doesn't make me believe that they aren't going to try to pull in 2024 in November the same thing that they did in 2020. They are going to try to steal this election. No question about it.
I had no idea that Jussie Smollett and Kamala Harris were that close. I didn't know. You're the first one I'm hearing this from. And I don't think most people knew about this. I've not heard it anywhere or anything. Very interesting information. Also, but I was not familiar with it. I wanted to ask, because I got to run here, but let me ask, now that the Kennedy guy has endorsed Donald Trump, what do you think about that?
I like it. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of Robert F. Kennedy,
right,
on a number of different issues, but I do know a lot of people that were supporting him here in Texas, a ton of people who were supporting him. So the fact that he is coming out and saying, look, I'm dropping out of this race, I'm supporting Trump, I think that's huge. That's a huge deal. Of course, the media is downplaying it, but this is a big deal.
Amazing. It is. I again, you're right. I didn't agree with a lot of things that Kennedy is about either, but I was happy to see the endorsement. And I know the Democrats are ticked right now. And I said earlier, even one of his family members spoke out against him for doing this, or maybe a couple of them. And this is the first time I ever heard a Kennedy speak publicly against another Kennedy. That's something new as well. I'm going to have to run, but I got two quick questions. Did you know you look like Martin Luther King?
I look nothing like Martin Luther King.
You look like, all. Are you sure that might not be your daddy? It's really weird how much you look like him when he was a young man.
Martin Luther King didn't wear glasses, so.
You look more like him than his own children. So I got to ask, and then I want you to tell the folks how to get you. What is love?
What is love? God is love.
God is love. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell the folks how to get to your website or whatever you want to put out there, Chad.
You can find me at Chad O. Jackson, all one word, on YouTube, X, and IG.
Amazing. Chad, thank you, man, for coming on again. It was amazing. And continue to do what you're doing, man. You're having a great impact on America, and that's what we need.
Thank you. Always good. A good time with you, Jesse.
Yeah, for the good. Yeah. Check him out, folks. Thank you, Chad. Another Man History Month. August is Men's History Month. Happy Man History Month. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
Amazing. 888-775-3773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Let me go to Will, a first-time call out of New York. Will, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
All is well, Will. Thanks for calling.
All right, so my question is, why do you have so much, like, animosity towards black people? I feel like you give black people the short end of the stick, but I feel like you treat white people as, like, the savior. The great white hope, for example. there's no great black hope. I never heard you say that.
And so you think that you ask him why? You say why? You ask why do I have animosity toward the blacks?
Yes.
But I don't have any at all toward them. I'm trying to. Did you see? I was just talking to a black man right now, right, Chad?
I also seen your other interviews with Dr. Umar, but you didn't give him the same energy.
I don't remember the interview, but I do remember talking to him. But let me say, I'm trying to wake up black people because in the good old days when boys were boys and men were men, black people were more independent. They thought for themselves. They did for themselves. They didn't have so-called black leaders doing for them or thinking for them. They were not relying on the government, and they were not blaming white people for anything. They took responsibility for themselves. So I'm trying to bring them back to that.
So what time period was that? Was that the 1960s?
Yeah, it was. I was born 49. In between 49 and up until the civil rights movement came along, is when black people lost their way. Because they start relying on the so-called civil rights leaders who were using them for personal gain. You're right about that. And so I'm trying to get blacks to come back and take responsibility for themselves. Am I wrong for that?
See, no, I agree with you with that part, you know, trying to wake up black people, which is 100% true, you know. Like, a lot of black people are brainwashed, you know.
Yeah.
And living their own lives, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like the way that you come across of it is not how you should have, you know. Like,
how should I do it? How should I present it? Give me an example.
I feel like you're doing more of a tough love for black people. Not really saying like tough love, but you're saying like little stuff like that would obviously, you know, upset some black people, you know, like trolling, you know, nowadays trolling, whatever. But there is some valid points that you do have, you know, about, you know, a man being a man, you know, living in a two-parent household. Obviously, those are two crucial things.
So give me the example, but, because of time. Give me the example of how you think I should do it instead of what I'm doing. What should I say or do?
We should... Like you said that we're that black people blame the white man.
Can you hold for me? Can you hold, Will?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me take a break. 888-775-3773. The hate news, not the fake news. I'll be back in a moment. One more hour to go. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that, out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour two already of Female Monday, the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, August 26th, AD 2024. Hang tight, callers. JLP will be right back to your calls. And we will get to more great stories, perhaps, and your super chats. We have a lot to get to. But first, fake news on fake news. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports on the Grand Canyon floods. Flash flooding in the Grand Canyon National Park has prompted the rescues of more than 100 people since Thursday. Did you know? At least one hiker died in the floods triggered by the monsoon storms. Monsoons, summer storms, local authorities said. I think that's what they are. Anyway, the hazardous conditions led Arizona's National Guard to use a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter to evacuate dozens of tourists and tribal members. Tribal members, because part of it is Indian land, American Indian land, from a canyon on the lands of the Havasupai tribe within the park on Saturday. So showed video from the Arizona National Guard. A North Carolina couple told Commie Nonsense that as they hiked in the Havasupai Indian Reservation, I may be butchering the pronunciation. Sorry, American Indians. They had to form human chains and hack through thorny bushes and cacti, you know, cactuses, cacti, for hours until they reached safety. What a mess. And, you know, also a mess in America. There's an apple juice recall because there's arsenic. Walmart has recalled nearly 10,000 cases of apple juice sold in stores across the United States that were found to contain potentially harmful levels of arsenic. Arsenic being poison. Is that what they squeeze out of apple seeds when they crush the apple seeds too much? The recall applies to Great Value brand apple juice sold in 25 states. Puerto Rico also, and the District of Columbia, D.C. Quote, "We have removed this product from our impacted stores and are working with the supplier to investigate." So said a Walmart spokesman. Florida-based manufacturer Refresco Beverages in the United States has voluntarily recalled the contaminated juice, after discovering levels of the chemical contaminant, arsenic, that exceeded industry standards. Levels found in the recalled apple juice bottles could cause sickness, but they are low enough that the FDA does not expect them to cause such severe health consequences. What a mess. I think it's arsenic. Maybe it's something else. Cyanide? What a mess. I don't think it's cyanide. By the way, once again, the Telegram CEO was arrested in France. I'm sorry. I thought this was France. This is not France. Pavel Durov, D-U-R-O-V, who is often called the Mark Zuckerberg of Russia, was detained on an arrest warrant related to a lack of moderation on his platform, Telegram. Oh, like, you don't moderate your platform enough. Let us arrest you. The heck. Terrible. Watch your mouth, kids. And $24 million is how much the jersey that legendary New York Yankees player Babe Ruth wore. Wow. When he hit one of the baseball's most famous home runs, sold for on Sunday, making it the most valuable sports collectible in the world. $24 million jersey, Babe Ruth. Shout out. Some people speculate that he might have been a light-skinned black, but I don't buy it necessarily. I'm just saying it. That's what I saw on the internet. Here's a quote. "Space flight is risky. Even at its safest, even at its most routine, and a test flight by nature is neither safe nor routine, making excuses. That's NASA Administrator Bill Nelson, a white man too, I think, announcing Saturday that a SpaceX capsule will bring home two NASA astronauts who are stranded in space on the International Space Station several weeks longer than expected. There, it's the Boeing's fault. Too much risk. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 3.
Somewhere in the world today, men have got to stand up strong. About themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. That's amazing. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse, my biblical question, and it's a doozy. The biblical question, do you want to be different? Do you want to be different? Do ya? Do ya? Do you want to dance? Do you want to be different? You can get involved if you're busy. We are heard around the world by everybody. And they mama, if you're black. Everybody and they mama, if you're white. Everyone and their mother. Everybody and their mother. But if you're black, everybody and they mama. You can be listening to the show on your iPhone, iPad, no matter where you are and what you're doing, by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And we're going to get to your super chats in a minute. To donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk, or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Monday, third hour of the show. Every Monday is Female Monday.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
That's for sure. So I want to go back to LaVell, first time call out of New York. And LaVell agreed with me on something, but he said that I'm a little hard on the blacks. I mean, Will, not LaVell, but Will. He said, I'm a little hard on the blacks. And so I asked him to hold on and give me some ideas of how he think I should say. What do you think I should say or do? Let me go quickly back to Will. Hey, Will. Will?
Yeah, hello?
Thank you for holding. Give me, tell me something that you think I should say or not say concerning the blacks.
It's not about what you should say and not say. It's just more of the fact that I feel like a white person is more welcomed on your show than a black person.
No, all people, totally.
Even, Even though you ask them the same questions, I feel like your emphasis, like I've seen some episodes of your show.
Right.
Like the emphasis you put, like, you know, I'm not going to play a game like, you know, like that. We both don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, you're a man, you have your own choices. But I just feel like, you know, the whole part when you said that we blame the white man for how black people ended up, to a certain extent, they are. It's their fault.
It's the white man's fault.
Because, yes, just how you said that between 1940 something when he was born and 1960, that's at that time, yes, that's when black people were having their own jobs, having their own communities and stuff like that. And what happened? The government started breaking up black families. Going into the 1970s, they started selling crack, started selling drugs, started doing this and that. 1980s, same thing. It's just they broke the black family.
Why did the government start doing that? You're right. The government did start doing that. But why?
Because you can't have black people. You can't have black people equal to white people.
You think that's why it was?
Yes.
And when were black people equal to white people, or white people equal to black people?
Never.
And
it should be, but there's no such thing.
How can you be equal to someone? How is that possible?
Because we're all humans. We're all part of the same race.
I know, but how can you be equal to someone else? What do you mean by that?
Have equal opportunities, have...
I'm sorry? Will?
To have equal opportunities, you know, like, let's say
Are you black?
I'm mixed.
Okay, but are you mixed with blacks at least?
Correct.
I'm sorry?
Yes, I'm mixed with blacks.
What opportunity that the white man is keeping you from or has ever kept you from?
It was plenty of times and, you know, that I've went to a job interview and, you know, I have a very white name when it comes down to it. Like on a piece of paper, if you saw my name, you would think that I was white.
No, I wouldn't. I have a family member named Will. What are you talking about? Will is a black name going and coming.
No, my name is not Will. My name is Willis.
But it's still black.
But that's,
ain't
that's
no a, white man named Willis.
Well, I've met countless white. The only people that I've met that have the same name as me are white men.
But let me tell you this, because of time, you're right in that the government did this to the black, but it was the civil rights movement headed up by black people, King and Jackson and Louis Farrakhan and others, right? And they were the one that incurred, I don't know how much Louis Farrakhan paid the part in government takeover, but it was the civil rights movement that encouraged the government to take over the black people because they wanted to be the leader of the blacks so that they could gain power and wealth. It wasn't a white man who did it on his own. It was encouraged by the civil rights movement, who were black people. They said, I want to be your leader. I'll tell you how to think. I'll tell you what to do.
I understand that, but...
I'm sorry?
I understand that.
So why didn't you leave that part out?
There were blacks in the civil rights movement that were not good for us.
Why did you leave that part out, that it was the blacks who did it, along with the white government?
It wasn't only.
With the white government. Why did you leave that part out? That the black people set the black people up.
There's always going to be people of a race that's not going to always agree with everything.
No, but I'm asking you though, why did you leave that part? I'm asking you, why did you leave the part out that the black was set up by blacks, the so-called leader of the civil rights movement? Why did you leave that out?
Because those people wasn't appointed by the black people.
Yes,
those
they were.
Those people were appointed by the white people.
That's not
by
true.
The white government, like.
No, they were appointed by the black people, because if the black people had not gone along with them, they would not exist.
No, it was more than just black people that went along with the civil rights movement.
I know, it was white people too, but I'm telling you, it was done by black. But let me ask you this, Will, because of time, who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm a father. I'm loving. I'm caring. I have all the characteristics of a good person. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect.
Right.
But I have the characteristics of a good person.
And so you just told me all the things that you do. Who are you, though? Who is Will?
Will? I'm me.
But who is you? When you say you, who are you? You told me everything you're doing. I don't doubt it or disbelieve. I want to know who are you, not what you do, what you belong to, but who are you?
I don't understand how. What do you mean?
I want to know who is Will or Willis. All right.
So who is Jesse?
Yeah. Who is Willis?
No, I'm asking you, who is Jesse?
No, I asked the question first. You didn't answer the question. You told me what you did and how many children you have, how loving you are. You love white people?
I didn't say how many children I have.
Oh, you love white people?
I love some white people. First of all, black people can't be racist. But I'm not prejudiced towards white people.
Do you love white people?
I love certain white people, yes. The ones that,
is it possible to love some but not all people?
Yeah, you could love some people and not all people.
And so let me ask, who are you?
Is it right? No.
Are you a Christian?
I grew up in a Christian household, yes.
Are you a Christian?
I wouldn't consider myself Christian right now, no.
And why not?
Because I don't believe in religion.
How about, do you believe in God?
Of course.
And then how are you not a Christian then?
I don't know. I feel like religion itself is just bullshit. It's money.
You can't curse passion. On the phone, man. What the?
Oh, sorry. it's not very enticing. I feel like it leads people in the wrong direction. Like, I believe in God. I believe.
And so can you believe in God and not love all white people?
Can you believe in God and not love all white people? It's a good question. I believe not. You know, I've watched your show. I've seen what you know, the questions you ask. So, yes, me, myself, I believe in God and I don't love every white person, but that don't mean be like me.
So are you saying that you can believe in God and not love all white people?
For me or in general?
I'm talking to Willis.
Me, myself, I believe in God and I don't love every white person.
And so what makes you think you believe in God if you don't love all white people?
Because even though they are still people, you know, I mean, I don't interact with them. I'm not going to sit here and say I love somebody. I don't even, you know, I don't know them. I don't know how they feel.
But you don't know God either.
I don't know God, but I believe in him.
But how can you believe in a God that you don't even know?
Because I believe. But if I knew him, then I couldn't believe him.
What do you mean?
You only could believe in something that you don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. But, do you know your mother and father, or do you believe in your mother and father?
But so you'd rather believe about God but not know him?
No. It's not about, if you know him, then you cannot believe in him.
Would you rather believe in God or know God?
If I knew him, I wouldn't believe in him.
So would you rather have belief in God or to know God?
Belief.
You'd rather have belief over knowing?
Did you know your parents or did you believe in your parents?
I knew my parents.
Exactly.
I also know God. So, give me a quick answer. You'd rather believe about God than to know God. Are you saying that?
I mean, I know of God.
But and that you prefer to have that than to know God? Come back to your phone, Willis. Come back to your phone.
I believe in him.
And so you'd rather believe him in him but not know him. You may quit, yes or no?
I know of him.
Willis, give me a quit, yes or no?
Yes.
Willis, thank you for your call, man. It was an amazing call. Call me again, all right?
No problem.
All right, buddy. 888-775-3773. Super chat.
Super chat.
There's a line open. One line. Super chat.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk from this past Friday, Elizabeth bought three coffees. Good morning. Buenos dias, Jesse.
Si.
Que lo que dímelo.
Demo que dímelo.
Smiley face emoji. I am voting for Trump because that's my husband's vote. And also because he's the great white hope. Big yes emoji.
Nice.
P.S. Hake, you looked like you saw a ghost on the video release from 2010 yesterday, meaning last Thursday night, when Jesse asked you to read, laughing face with tears coming out. Looking at the old and new, all I see is growth. So keep growing. Amazing. Party right. Emoji. Blessings to you and team. Heart.
Right on. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Three coffees. Underground Guru with a diamond, no message. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was from Friday.
Right on.
Appreciate that. Derek bought a coffee. Jason from Buffalo. The KKK was Democrats trying to stop Big Mama from voting for Republicans. Education is important, he says.
Amazing. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ryan bought a coffee. Hey, Jesse, love the show. I am having a hard time witnessing my beta brother being controlled by his new girlfriend, who is slowly ruining his life. She needs him with her all the time, and he's since lost his job, doesn't talk to me anymore, even though we are roommates and used to be friends. What a mess. Do I just leave him in his hell or try to help him? Appreciate you, man. Have an amazing day.
There's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do about your brother's situation. Likewise, there's nothing you can do about your situation. And you should not be feeling one iota of a thing about his situation at all. Let him live his hell life. Leave him in his hell. Wish him well. You have no business feeling bad or good about it. It's him and not you. So just wish him well and then live your life. Work on you. You're responsible for you and you only, unless you have little children. All right. I wish you well. Thank you. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan, for your coffee. You've got the whipped brother. Someone bought a coffee. Hi, Jesse. I've heard your viewpoint about how people treat dogs as pets.
What a mess.
But how do you feel about cats?
Same thing.
I don't think people treat their cats like children the same way they do dogs.
They don't.
And cats are more independent from their owner. Just curious. Thanks for all you do, Jesse. Big red heart emoji.
And you're right about that. It reminds me that I need to do a cat investment. Go and invest in some cat. Because we'll make cat popular and everybody will buy a cat. What the?
Nice.
I saw a report over the weekend, maybe last night, but over the weekend, that one of the reasons, not the only, that dolls became so popular is that Lady Gaga. Now, I don't know how true it is. I just saw it on the news, on the TV. Lady Gaga doll was kidnapped or something, stolen or kidnapped or something like that. And her person was walking the dog, according to a report, and somebody came over and shot him, I believe, and took at least two of the dogs. And Lady Gaga had a fit about it, and she made it a big deal, and she put an reward out for him. And they finally got the dog, but they also caught the people who did it. And once she went public with dog, everybody and their mama started buying the dog. That's one of the reasons it became a big deal. She put out $500,000 reward, and that's one of the reasons having a dog became a big deal. Can human beings be that dumb? Can they be that dumb? I just want to know. But thank you. We got to make cats popular again. Thank you.
Hannes bought 10 coffees. Very generous, Hannes. Thank you for all you do, Jesse. I just keep growing and growing and learning and watching. Infinite appreciation from the Green Isle. That's Ireland.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you. That reward thing was in USA Today, I believe, that she put out $500,000 reward. Can you believe that?
So they caught the people?
I believe they caught him, and that they got her dolls back. And the doll thing, everybody saw about the doll, especially a little boy doll, silly-looking doll, that became really popular because prior to that, most people didn't know, according to the report, they didn't know that those dolls was, like, expensive doll and that people would steal them and make money off them, something like that. What a mess, huh? Human beings are a mess. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Hannes. Oh, and someone. Still talking about that.
Thank you.
Charlotte's bought our coffee. Hey, Jesse, blacks aren't smart enough to create anything like technology or society, so they depend on whites to do it, which makes it seem the blacks are created to serve them. You're welcome, says Charlotte.
Amazing. Thank you.
That's a reference to the conversation with Joel Friday on this past Friday.
Somebody called Joel up and said that black people were created to serve the whites. And what did Joel say? Did Joel say, yeah, that's true? No, I don't think he said that was true. I forgot what Joel, he black. You can ask Joel on the show today at 11 a.m. Did he believe that white people were blacks were created to serve the whites? What the? Thank you.
Joel's beta adventure gave a diamond last week. Just another beta week, being my nice, graceful self.
Thank you. What the? Thank you.
Captain something, three coffees.
Oh, Jura said he said heck to the no on that one. Well, the white people created to serve white people.
All right.
Thank you.
Captain something bought, it carried over into Anchor Baby's show on a Friday, by the way.
Really?
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I know the anchor baby think black people were created for that, right?
Definitely.
To serve the white.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Amazing. Thank you.
Three coffees from Captain Something. Shout out to the break music. This is from Friday. It's some fire emojis. Amazing work. Bond Network. Strong arm and cool sunglasses emojis.
Apparently, the anchor baby found some new music that we can use now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
McToon bought a coffee, homeschool dad, software engineer, science communicator. Very nice. And thank you, McToon, for your coffee. He also sent a tip.
Thank you, McToon.
Kenny bought a coffee. Just to be clear, when I told Jesse I got neutered, I only got a vasectomy. This is from Kenny from last week, he called. Strong arm, laughing face, scrunched. Tell Joelle no tape needed. You don't need to tape it back on or anything like that.
Amazing. Okay, we will. He hear you.
The key bought our coffee. Jesse, the government has already tried to seize Trump's real estate assets in New York illegally, says the key. BlackRock and Vanguard are likely behind the funding Letitia James prosecution for this case, so speculates she. I disavow it, just for the sake of not knowing. It's definitely a power grab. BlackRock and Vanguard do not want to be regulated by their competitor, Trump. The current administration is allowing these large venture capitalist companies to monopolize the real estate market while aiding them in the process. Please recall Trump's shooter was tied to BlackRock, says the key. Oh, ever the conspiracy theory.
Piffy.
Yeah, these are not
piffy. What the?
The key doesn't listen. The key. You're not listening.
Maybe they won't listen because we keep reading the long ones instead of.
Yeah, maybe I should stop.
Yeah.
But thank you for your coffee.
Yeah, thank you, but keep it piffy.
She does say so. It's socialism at its best. Or he or she, I don't know.
Thank you. Amazing.
Shout out to the top contributors from DLive on Friday. Underground something, Joel's Beta Adventure, Games for Rec, and the rest. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
And that's from Friday.
Right. We'll pick up that. I got to get you some calls.
Okie dokie.
And I'll come back to that.
Nice.
Amazing. Thank you all so much. I got to get you the phone. We will come back and catch up from, I guess, Sunday on, right?
Saturday, Sunday, all that.
Nice. Amazing. I do appreciate it. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Tony out of Massachusetts. Tony, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, my buddy. How you doing, man?
All is well, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Jesse, I'm calling you for the third time in my life, right? And I've been taking your advice of everything you've done. So I met this lady, and I ask those questions that you said. If I decide to marry you one day, would you obey me? She said yes. And another thing I asked women, do women make men lie? She said yes. And Jesse, as a man that's an alpha male, what my father taught me, I just want to say thank you, man. That's the reason why I call you, because I've been seeing a lot of guys wearing T-shirt, happy life, happy wife.
Beta.
And I'm like, beta males. Yeah. And Jesse, what I do God's work. It's not hard to be kind.
Yeah.
So I go out and tell people hello. When they speak back to me, I say it's not hard to be kind. Jesse has changed my life. And I'm going to do my entrepreneurship through what I do more is trucking. Thank you, Jesse. I love you, brother.
You're welcome. You're welcome,
That's
Tony.
That's all I want for the day, man. I want to ask you one more question.
Stay with us, Tony. You're right.
One more, Jesse.
Yeah.
Now, this woman I met, her husband got killed. So she has two kids. What do I do in a situation like that?
How old are the kids?
The kids are 6 and 3. They're young.
I know in the Bible says that if the woman is her husband dead, something like right. It's okay to marry her. But I would take my time with it.
Right.
I wouldn't rush into it because,
right.
First of all, you got to really know her to see if you're really being right. honest about that. Right. And then secondly, you don't want the kids to feel that you're imposing upon their mother and taking their
right.
place.
Right. So you treat me well. And Jesse, you know what I told her?
What?
I'm not having sex with you until I get married.
Right on.
I told her that too.
Nice.
And Jesse, thank you, man.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Keep pushing forward.
Stay
and
with
you'll hear from me again.
Absolutely.
I will.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Jesse.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye now. Amazing. Stay with us. 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Carlos, a first-time caller out of Florida. There's one line open. Carlos, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jesse. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I listened to your show, and I really wanted to talk to you, and also thank you for inspiring me and for opening my eyes to a lot of things that I've been confused about. So
you're welcome.
Basically, you know, I'm somebody that I'm not from the United States. I mean, I wasn't born in the U.S. I'm an immigrant. I'm a U.S. citizen right now. And, you know, I always been trying to help people to get better. I came from nothing, and I was able to build with effort and with perseverance, education. And I wanted to, like, provide that to my brothers. And I have tried to do a lot of things, but I have always pretty much crash myself against a wall that it didn't allow me to do that. I used to, you know, I have a nonprofit and I go to jails across the country. And I teach computer science, which is my major, for free, pretty much. I try to set up computer labs inside the jails and teach inmates
But you can't help. You can't help anyone. Only God can help people. They can't even help themselves. And you hurt people when you try to help them.
I realize that lately. And by listening to you, I realize that the only way to, you know, to get freedom from poverty is through hard work and perseverance, you know. But right now, I'm facing before I felt like I was like racist, because I always thought that in this country that had given me so much, I think that people that actually was born here, they have all the opportunities, you know, they don't take advantage of that. I think that everybody in this country, if they want, regardless of color, regardless of origin, regardless of anything, you know, they can make it. They can build their life and be successful. And I never understood why people that are born in this country, they have everything available to them, they don't do it. And And I, every time that I mention this to people, especially to my black friends, you know, like, I'm like, don't live on the path.
Carlo, let me take a quick break. When I come back, I want you to get right to your question or comment for me because of time here. But let me take a break. Don't hang up, Carlos. The treasure chest is now open on DLive. I'll be back in a moment. Quick moment. So I asked the question, are you better than a child molester? I've discovered over the 30 years of counseling, the one thing that's missing, and I think because it's not taught in the homes or talked about, we don't have examples of it, right, is love. Our theme this year is to bring back Christianity, to love God with all our heart, soul, and might, our neighbor as ourselves, and to endure. And there, when you're in a fallen state, people will judge the molester but think they're better than the molester. And I ask, well, why do you think you're better? What I realized, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself or how much you have or don't have or how you accomplish things in life or don't. If you have no love, you have nothing. Jesse. Quick announcement. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com. And after the Hake Report from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, and James Hake is on fire. Y'all should check out James Hake's show. I don't know how to explain it. It's different. Talk about wanting to be different. It's different. From 9 to 11 a.m. And then Joel Friday TV, he black. Men in relationship, all in the name, is in the blood. Joel Friday TV. And at 2 p.m. today, brand new episode on Pudgy TV there. Pudgy TV. Every Monday at 2 p.m. on YouTube and punchitv.com, punchie.tv. Watch this.
It's crazy. Eating it up.
No, it's almost true. Sad.
But that's the thing is that they know how to work the crowd so well. And because of that, it don't matter what they're saying.
And I felt like I was at Azusa Pacific University, the Christian school that I went to, the chapel service. I felt so worshipful. I felt like I was at home.
Because it was like going to a concert and seeing
exactly
some of your favorite entertainers.
Punch
and TV at 2 p.m. today. Nate wasn't there. I don't think Nate was there today.
No, I was there.
Oh, you were there?
You'll see me at 2.
Oh.
You'll see me at 2 p.m.
He just didn't say anything remarkable.
The Anchor Baby was there. I thought so. But listen, and at 4 p.m., the American Anchor Baby, at 4 p.m., Happy Man History, by the way, and American Anchor Baby, has energy, I'll read Joel a note, energy sent to him and given to him from the Father. I've never heard anyone say that they believe in the Father, but they didn't want to know him. You can't know him or something like that. Willie said. But anyway, Joel Fry, sorry, Nick didn't comment on that session. Okay. Nick didn't say, have anything to say in that session.
I didn't make the cut. Sorry, coach.
And can't always be a part of the team. One day Nick will make it. Amazing.
We put him on the bench.
Well, anyway, so all that going on today, check it out, check it out. All right. I want to go quickly back to the phone to Carlos, first time caller out of Florida. Carlos, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Jesse, basically the question is like when you are among a group of people, you know, and you just hear the complain, and what's your advice in regards to, I don't know how to handle that situation, is to be, you know, just to be straight with them, even though they get offended every time that you say, you know, something that they don't want to hear. Like, what's the best approach? Just to keep to silence?
To walk away. If you try to say, hey, you're a complainer, stop blaming, and they get angry, then you walk away and leave them in their hell. That's what God does. He leaves human beings in their misery, in their hell, until they want to come out of their hell and welcome the truth. And so, by welcome the truth. So you leave people in their hell and don't take it personal. Don't you feel good or bad about it? You just go on living your life.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
You're welcome, Carlos. Call me again.
I will. Thank you.
All right,
buddy. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye now. 888-7753-773. Murphy, a first-time caller out of New York. Murphy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
I want you to know I've been out here listening to you for a little bit, and you give, like, the greatest advice to people. It's very basic. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to make sense of what you're saying.
Yeah.
People have to be accountable of their actions.
Right.
And that's all. And praise the Lord. And the fact that, like, when you do something, it's through God. You didn't do it on your own. It's the strength of the Holy Spirit that gives you the motivation, that gives you the power.
Right.
It puts your hand on the hammer to swing it. And I just want to say I appreciate what you're doing out there, and thank you for what you're doing.
You're welcome, man. Thank you so much. What do you mean when you say praise the Lord? What does that mean?
To glorify what he's done for us. Who else would send himself in a physical form? The Son. Because we couldn't do it on our own. To have him be spit on, to have him be mocked, to have him be lashed, and take away our sins through the blood. Who else would do that?
And what's your purpose of praising the Lord with your conversation like that? When you say, good morning, praise the Lord.
Or, praise the Lord.
Yeah, what's the purpose of saying that when you're conversation with people, during a conversation with people? What's the purpose?
It's actually not even a purpose. It's something that, a purpose. So when you look at a purpose means that you're expecting an outcome.
So I'm asking, what's your purpose? What reason then do you say that when you conversate with people?
Because I wouldn't even be on the phone with you right now if it wasn't for the Lord. I would have never made it this far.
I know, but what's the purpose of saying praise the Lord?
You always have the best questions. What is my
I want to know.
and I want to share with you. A purpose means you expect an outcome, because that's what, you know what I mean? Like, you have a purpose.
I know, but I'm asking you, why do you say praise the Lord when you talk to people?
Because I feel like we wouldn't even be on the phone right now if he wasn't riding.
I know, but why do you have to say praise the Lord?
I don't have to.
But why do you do it?
Because I am beyond thankful for what he's done in my life.
I understand that part, but why do you
I would like other people to feel the same way as I do. And I can't make nobody do anything. That's their own job. They can do that.
So why say praise the Lord? Why not? Because it's not like you have a relationship with God, right?
Of course I do.
So why not just have a normal conversation? Because your relationship is between you and God and no one else. Why do you have to praise God all the time?
Well, you know the Bible, and I know you do because I listen to you.
Right.
And in the Bible, especially after the Gospels, but also in the Gospels, so all like the letters, the epistles, we're supposed to evangelize. It's our duty. Once you are saved, that's good. You get saved first, and then from there, it's our duty to evangelize.
Who
that's
told
what
you
God
that?
Wants of us.
Who told you that?
The Bible.
He said what?
That it's our job to evangelize. I could pull up some quotes right now if you.
It doesn't say it's your job to evangelize.
Yeah, it is.
That's not in the Bible.
Matthew chapter 28:18-20.
Because of time, just give me the overall view of what that is saying to you.
God loves everybody and wants them to come home, but he's not going to beg. If you go into the Old Testament...
No, but why are you going out to evangelize knowing that he's not going to even... If you want to stay in hell, he'll just leave you in hell. Why do you feel the need to go out and evangelize when God does not do that himself?
Because we're supposed to do it. It's our work now.
But
God
he never told
work,
you.
Right?
He never told you to do that.
He did. It's in the Bible.
What is that?
Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20.
Okay. Let me do this. I appreciate your call. Can you call me Bible Thumper Thursday?
Yeah. What time?
Whenever you get a chance.
I'll give you a ring. That's all.
I do appreciate one quick yes or no without follow up. Do you have anger?
Yes.
And can you know God and have anger?
We are all sinners.
No, but can you know God and be of anger?
I know God when I'm angry for a moment and I could breathe out and be like, it's
impossible.
Okay.
It's impossible to be of God and of anger.
We all fall short. If we didn't fall short.
No. I'm asking you about you. Is it possible to be of God and of anger?
Me personally, right? Check this out. I'm going to keep it really short for you because I know you're a busy man. I will never be good enough. The fact that I'm trying.
That's not what I'm asking you. Is it possible to be of God and of anger?
If you're doing it the right way, no.
So is it possible to be of God and of anger?
No.
So you're not doing it the right way?
I'm getting better every day, and that's all I can do.
Amazing.
And every time I do, it's not because of me. It's because of the word.
Is anger of evil or of good?
It's evil.
So how can you serve good and evil?
You can't. You can only have one master.
So why you have two?
Because I'm a sinner.
Amazing. Thank you, Murphy. Call me again, but I totally appreciate your call.
I appreciate you. Keep doing the good work.
I'll talk to you soon. Okay, thank you. Super chat. I opened a D-line chest, right?
Yes, you did indeed.
Okay.
Tater salad, bought a coffee. I'm afraid I won't get any sleep if y'all start a 24-hour men's show. I haven't missed one JLP show since I've been watching the past 4 months. Hake with the good hair is on fire. Joel growing into an alpha little by little, but he black, so I understand. I have to run around the house 3 times to build up energy to keep up with the anchor, baby. Keep it up, fellas.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. Amazing. Well, get ready, because Punch It TV is going to be 24 hours a day with all men talk. And guys from around the world, not just in America. We got some good lineup coming up. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tater salad with a follow-up coffee. I wasn't sure that the last comment I made was pithy enough for Hake. So I had to Google the meaning. It means expressing an idea cleverly in a few words. I thought it was clever, but not a few words. My bag, Hake.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tater Salad, for the mea culpa. Someone with a coffee. Hi, Jesse. Top of the morning to you. Simple question. Could you talk about tithing? I give to your church under donations and give 10%, but does it come back in the form of God, or is it just something that shows dedication? Either way, thank you for your input.
Right on. Thank you. Give what you can afford to give. Expect nothing in return, and you'll get it back. Believe me. And I don't know how it will come back, in what form and all that, but it will. Because in spiritual order, as you give, you shall be given. But don't give to expect anything. And give what you can afford to give. Amazing. Thank you.
Richard bought a coffee. Hey, Jesse and Co., thanks for explaining the difference last week between thinking and seeing.
Yes.
Your answer was thinking is not seeing and seeing is seeing. I'm sure I know what thinking is. I've experienced it many times. When you talk, when you, Jesse, talk about seeing, I'm sure you're not talking with your eyeballs.
No.
How do you know you're seeing, and can you describe what seeing is?
When you see it, you're going to know it. Don't worry about it. Right now, just know you don't see, right? And when you know you don't see, you will start to see. Amazing. Thank you. And amazing question.
He asked, can you describe what seeing is?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Richard, with your coffee.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Don't put all the thinking about seeing. Oh, don't even think about seeing or not seeing. Just know you're in your intellect and you want to let that go. Amazing. Thank you.
Kohlberger Art, 7 coffees.
Nice.
Thanks for the fellowship. Feeling hopeless. Smile emoji and thumbs up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for your support.
Very generous Cash App from Isaiah Wilson. The best fellowship on this side of heaven.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Ray in Kentucky. Coffee. Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
Amazing. That's right.
Colby bought a coffee.
Nice. Thank you,
Ray.
Thank you, Ray. Kentucky.
Is there a way to get married under the umbrella of God without the government being involved? Asks Colby.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't if you, I don't know. I know I have heard of people who got married without going down to the government and registering as married. Now, I don't recommend that you do that or not do that. That's up to you. Totally up to you. I don't think the government should be involved in marriage. It's just another money-making thing for the government and control. But it's up to you what you do about it. Thank you.
5 coffees from Soul Conscious. Jesse, thanks for a name. Thank you for that amazing Sunday's church.
Yesterday's fellowship was mind-blowing. Check it out at rebuildingaman.com/church. Rebuildingaman.com/church. It was. You're welcome. It was deep.
Uh-oh, Jesse. Uh-oh, emoji. I hope Bobby's wife didn't start putting antifreeze in his food now. White B-word, housewife style.
Who is Bobby?
I'm not sure. Bobby Kennedy?
Who is Bobby?
Oh, yeah, because Bobby Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr.,
right.
His wife is displeased or something like that, that he endorsed Trump.
Oh.
Something like that. She's an actress.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You got to admire this man for standing up like this, knowing that his family will be against him. Even his wife? What the? I wish him well. Thank you, C.R.
Julie from Connecticut, Eric's wife, bought a coffee. I saw a video of RFK talking about anger. If you guys want me to send it, the interviewer asked if he was joining Trump out of anger and spite toward the Dems. And he said he has no anger. He said anger is like me drinking poison expecting someone else to die.
Amazing. Nice. Thank you.
CNC, another coffee. What these evil leftist party is doing is they're just ignoring what anybody is saying along with the media's help, and they just want to blank again. Cion, trying to get... Anyway, I know that they're not going to let him back. She didn't cuss, but it was a banned phrase. I know they're not going to let him back in the White House. I hope they don't try to harm him again. They are the devil, just like the corrupt and greedy African leaders who don't give a care about the hungry people.
Amazing. Have a way to see. Don't get angry for sure. They want you to, but have a way to see. Can we stop right there for
sure.
a minute? Let me run to some calls.
All right.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
The rest of them later.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to them. Let me go quickly to Vince, our first-time caller out of Pennsylvania. Vince, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Jesse. Can you hear me all right?
I can, yes.
Yes, sir. Happy Men's History Month to you.
Thank you. Happy Men's History Month.
Yes, sir. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to know, you know, if you kind of see this in the world today, you know, maybe it's just me, I'm a little crazy, but I noticed that a lot of relatives and friends, whenever they're referring to the woman or the wife of the family, it's almost, I hear a lot of people say they're kind of the glue of the family and hold everything together. I feel like I'm surrounded by that kind of, you know, 24/7. It's all about the women, almost like they can do no harm. Like they're basically, you know, sitting up there next to God, like they're perfect. I want to know, how do you deal with that when you're, you know, kind of surrounded by 24/7, especially when it's your family? And also, do you notice that as well in today's society?
Absolutely. Women are not the glue to the family. the glue to the family is the father, the husband. He's the glue, uh-huh. and the glue to him is Christ in him, right? God in right. him. And so, but what they're pushing, because Satan is the woman's God, evil, they're pushing evil because they want evil, not realizing what they're doing. Some of them, most of them do, that they're bringing upon destruction upon the world because the hell come through the woman. And so evil is using them and the woman for destruction. But the man is the glue to the family. And his phone hung up for some reason. I hope you heard that, but no, the man is the glue, as Christ is the glue to the man. All right. Let me go quickly to Marie. Is it Marie-Anne?
Marie-Anne.
Marie-Anne out of Pennsylvania. Marie-Anne, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi there.
I was just, I called last week, actually. I'm calling back.
Okay.
In regards to this other caller that called you today and how you often say that an angry and complaining person should be avoided.
Right.
And you should walk away. But what if you're married to one? And I am working on myself. You did tell me to work on myself, and I am.
Okay.
And I don't, I'm not blaming him for anything. I'm, you know, I can't, but I can't always just leave the room, you know, and I would like the kids to have their dad around.
So, is your name Anne Marie or Marie-Anne?
Marianne.
Oh, Marianne.
Yeah.
What the? You black. The producer can't spell. What the? Marianne, so your question is, should you do what now?
I don't know if you had any maybe practical advice on how to, I mean, I guess this is the
so your question for me is what? Your husband is a complainer, according to you, and your question is what?
How to walk away from someone like that or not engage.
The way you deal with it, the way you walk away from this point forward, never, ever, 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 but never argue with him again or listen to his complaints.
Okay, so if he starts ranting, like we're in the same room and he starts complaining about, you know, various things, I say, okay, listen, I can't listen to you complain.
Yeah, as long as he's not,
don't complain in front of the children, or you know what I mean?
Is he complaining that you're not doing the right thing around the house?
No, he just randomly, like last night he started going on about how much he dislikes this place we used to live at and the people that live there.
Oh, well, don't listen to that kind of complaining at all. Just
right.
Don't be angry at him. Don't argue with him. Just walk away from it.
Okay.
Just say, hey, okay. I don't want to hear the complaints about other people. And just walk away. But don't be angry and don't argue.
Right. No. Okay. Right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Amazing. Bye, bye now. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Fritz out of Florida. Fritz, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
All is well, sir.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I had a question about when you say a woman should obey her man.
Yes.
Like, what do you mean exactly? Because I want to ask women that, too. But I want to know exactly, like, what am I asking when I ask them?
You ask, should they obey? Would you, if by chance we get married, would you obey me? And if she says no, you get up and walk away because you got a woman that you will never be able to build a strong family with.
So, like, exactly, like, when I ask, like, to obey me, like, what, like, not do what I say, but, like, you know, if I'm, like, follow me as I lead and not, like, question me on things or, like, try to be equal to me or above me or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Don't be arguing and fighting. Don't be turning your children against you, but to follow you as you follow Christ.
Oh, okay, cool. But don't be preaching to her or nothing like that. Like,
no.
Okay, got you.
Amazing.
Amazing.
All right, man.
Well,
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you. 888, I'm out of time. Super chat. Can we get a 1-2 in?
Yeah. Chill and Lean bought a coffee. Wouldn't be surprised if Kamala won because they eat it. Trying to make me say pig Latin, a bad phrase, in 2020. They will try again. Only way Trump will win if voters make it, as Trump say, too big something. And this will require Trump winning surprise states they didn't anticipate. Trump beating Clinton in Wisconsin 2016, for example. They didn't anticipate it at all.
Get out and vote, folks. Get out and vote. But don't be angry so you don't overreact, all right? They want you to overreact. Thank you.
Lori, I love what you said about being hopeless on Sunday church, because I always said I always had hopeless feelings my whole life, ran from it with drugs, people, music. It wasn't until I looked at it and realized it wasn't me that hopelessness left. God allowed me to see the truth.
Right,
I don't
on.
Feel bad for people with hopelessness, because salvation is on the other side of it if you finally face it. Otherwise, you're going to suffer and stay in hell.
Absolutely. Thank you. Amazing.
Nick LaBoy with a rumble rant. Fathers give tough love. This is addressing Willis, Will, the first and second hour caller. No. Mothers give fake sugar-coated love. Tough love prepares you for life, handles hurdles, and sugar-coated love leads to destruction. That's why fathers must be the head of their wives.
Amazing. Well said. Thank you.
Forgive your mama with a coffee. Is anger real?
Anger is an evil spirit. Absolutely.
Lori bought a coffee. Biblical question answer.
Do you want to be different?
No, right now I do not want to be different, because I'm exactly how I'm supposed to be. Initially, the devil told me I desperately wanted to be different. But now I'm the same as everyone else. I know that's a lie straight out of hell, because my heart has changed from hate to love.
Thank you for responding to the biblical question. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
The key with a coffee. Jesse, watch for a strategically planned famine. Nothing makes a man bend the knee quicker than hunger. Starve a population and submission comes naturally.
What the? Thank you. Amazing.
Ever the beautiful conspiracy theorist.
Thank you. I got to stop there.
Okay, we'll finish the rest of the Super Chats later, guys.
I am so out of time. 1 minute and 30 seconds. I'm out of time. To the callers, Renee out of Texas, Lavelle, a first-time call out of Michigan, and the caller dropping. I'm out of time. I'll be back tomorrow to Lord is Willing and the Creek Don't Ride. The Hake Report coming now. Then Joel Friday TV. He black at 11 a.m. And then Punchin' TV at 12. I mean, at 2 p.m., Punchin.TV. And then the American Anchor Baby at 4. Thank you all for your support. Get on that straight and narrow and stay there. You won't regret it. Bye, y'all, and thank you so much. I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, and woman over children. So get from race to responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family.